Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Today, I will be sharing a message from the seven I am statements of Jesus. Today, we'll be looking at John chapter 9, where Jesus says, I am the light. Please get your Bible and follow along. Also, if you are interested in hearing previous messages, please visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab, and you should find some helpful teachings from God's word. Before the message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us now, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Let your words come through clearly. Lord God, I decrease so that you may increase. Let your name be glorified. Help all of us to be free from distractions. May your word penetrate deep in our soul so that it can influence the way that we think and the way that we act. Help us to grow in understanding of you, Lord, so that we can grow in our faith, but also to be able to share our faith confidently and boldly. We thank you for this time here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I am the light. That is the title of today's message from John chapter 9. When you think about light, you can't help but to think about darkness. There is some type of contrast. So whenever light is in the picture, either as day, natural light, or even artificial light that comes from a light bulb. As we think about darkness, don't think of the physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness. And there's only one way to have light in the spiritual realm, and that is with Jesus, because Jesus is the light. In John chapter 9, we want to look closely at how the light brings glory to God. Also, we see how the light challenges religious tradition. Thirdly, we will see how the light empowers us with boldness. And lastly, we will see how the light illuminates what's really in the heart. Looking at verses 1 through 12, it says, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, How were your eyes open? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. The disciples and Jesus had walked by, and as they saw the blind man, and disciples asked, Who sinned? Because in this time, there was some type of ailment, some type of issue or disease going on. It was always attributed to some type of sin. And Jesus said, Neither him nor their parents. But rather, this is for so that the works of God should be revealed. Now, we can relate because oftentimes when we look at situations such as these, we start to wonder and ask similar questions such as, why is this happening to them? Or why has this happened to me? Oftentimes, we miss out on the blessings because we look from a physical lens on what we think or how we expect for things to happen versus to be open to the Lord and his sovereignty in all situations. Thinking of the story of Job in the Bible, how he was repeatedly ridiculed by his friends and even by his wife, who told him to denounce God. He even told Job he was facing all these hardships because he had a sin to confess. Job's friends said, You had to do something wrong. You're going through all of this. You lost your family. You lost your livestock. You're losing your money. You're going through all this pain and hurt. You had to do something. Job's friends were wrong. God's hands were still on him. God allowed Satan to attack Job to show that Job was loyal and God knew that this was an opportunity for him to get all the praise, just like Jesus here, knowing that the healing of the blind man was an opportunity to give God all the glory. Here, Jesus shows that he is the light, out of not just a physical sense, but also a spiritual sense. In verse 6 and 7, it says, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, we must not think that the healing came from the clay that allowed the man to see. There were other times where Jesus healed blindness, where he would just lay hands on people, or he would just use spit. But this time he used clay and spit. Think about it. It is a reference to the beginning of creation of how man was formed from the dust. So it lets us know that there is something deeper here going on. Although the man has been blind since birth, he is now being healed physically, but also being healed spiritually. Also, don't miss where Jesus told the man to go. In verse 7, he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Here there is an implication. When you receive the light, you will be sent. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're reminded that we are sent to be witnesses. We are sent to be witnesses of Jesus and to tell of the works of him in our lives. Also, looking at the scripture, it says that after washing, the man came back. He could have run off and went and found all his friends. He could have ran off and tried to explore and indulge in all the things he probably thought of but couldn't before. This was not the case. He got his sight and he came back because he was drawn by the light, Jesus. And that's encouraging to all of us because people may say, I will come to the church. I will come to the Lord when I get right. When truthfully, you're never going to be made right. In other words, you will remain blind until God himself make you able to see. This is because God draws himself unto us. The miraculous thing about it is that when we were dead in our transgressions, God already had a plan to save mankind. This act of grace is sometimes confusing to people. Here are the people, the neighbors here particularly, in verses 8 through 12. It says, therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Notice that reference, a man called Jesus. This is just showing a premature growing knowledge of who Jesus is on behalf of the man. Furthermore, in verse 12, it says, where is he? The blind man said, I do not know where he is. Remember, from the very first question that the disciples have asked, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And then Jesus said it was neither. This was not about sin, but rather this is to bring glory to God. Remember, that light brings glory to God. That light brings glory to God. Looking at verses 13 through 23, it says, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was a Christ, they would be cast out. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. And here's a reminder. And knowing our confidence is in Jesus, even when we are challenged by the religious ones. In other words, when we are challenged by tradition, know that Jesus, the light, challenges tradition. The neighbors and the people around were perplexed. Whenever a miracle or something like this magnitude in the religious arena occurs, it was natural for them to go to the Pharisees, who were the ones who had the job of discerning if something was of God or not. The Pharisees said, no. This can't be of God because this is done on the Sabbath. They cared more about doing things a certain way rather than a person being healed. They cared more about keeping a tradition rather than seeing someone's condition change. And this is something that we must expect. If we are walking in light, we will have to challenge tradition at times, especially when it is unbiblical traditions. We are constantly being bombarded with tradition. It's a good indication that we are in good hands because of Jesus. Jesus went against the tradition. And notice how the progression of this man's faith. At first, when they asked him in the previous set of verses, when they asked him how this happened, he said, a man did this, a man named Jesus. Now, when he is asked by the Pharisees, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He then said, the man, well, he is a prophet. This is a progression in the faith. Pay attention to that. He gave them an answer, but they did not believe him. This is evidence that sometimes when someone asks you a question, they really don't want to hear your answer. They already have an answer already pre-perceived in their minds. To further make their case and disprove the work of Jesus, they said, let's go to the parents and ask. And they indeed confirmed, yes, my son was blind since birth. But how he's able to see, we do not know. And who did it, we do not know. They did what you call, they pleaded the fifth. They were in fear of that tradition, and they were in fear of being excommunicated. They were in fear of the consequences that they would face. But instead, they said, he is of age. He can speak for himself. Now, what is this age? I don't know particularly what this age is, but it does indicate some level of maturity. For example, in our society, we can relate. We will say someone is over 18, they can vote, get married, able to sign legal documents. So if you think about he's of age, basically, he can speak for himself. We really don't need to consult with the parents. So we just need to know that he's not a small child and it wasn't someone who was incapable of answering for himself. He was the one who was blind man since birth, someone who knew what had happened to him, someone who could speak for himself, but someone who could articulate the truth and not be confused by what he knew. We have to note that the light challenges religious tradition. We can't be afraid of tradition. His parents may have not had that boldness to speak truth, even if they didn't know it, or if they did know what had happened. What they did know is that something had happened miraculously. Why? Because their son, who was born blind, now he's able to see. In verses 24 through 34, it says, so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they rivaled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Again, notice the progression of this man's faith. They asked him the first time, Who is this? He said, This is a man named Jesus. And then they asked him another time from the Pharisees, Who is this? And he said, He's a prophet. And now he's asked the fourth time because they asked him here twice. He said, This man is from God. This man is from God. When he agitated by the repeated questions, this man knows who he is talking to, the religious ones. He is talking to the ones who had the so-called religious authority on the earth. But actually, this was only the authority that they had given themselves. Here, he's saying, You know what? I don't know about you all. You so-called religious ones, and you all who are supposed to know the law and supposed to know what is right and wrong, you all the ones who got it wrong. You are the ones who got it all messed up and confused. Still in their disbelief, the Pharisees, don't miss what they said in verse 24. It says, Give God the glory. What does that mean? This means basically we're opening up this into a kind of a court setting. It's kind of like when you go to court and they make you swear on the Bible that you would tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. This is kind of what's going on here. They already asked him. They went to his parents and they said, No, this cannot be. It's almost like they're having a temper tantrum to this point. But you know what? Regardless, God would get the glory. We can see here as he answers their questions, how he is progressing and growing spiritually. He goes and tells them, You asking me these things? I have told you before. Do you want to be his disciples? Like, why are you really asking me these questions? Because I really believe you do not really want to hear, because I told you already. And he said, I tell you, I do not know what this is all about or what's happened. But one thing I do know is that this man is from God. And then the traditional people, the religious ones, the Pharisees, they said, You were completely born in sins. And now you're teaching us. That level of pride. And the Bible throughout reminds us constantly of being prideful, not being willing to listen, not being willing to be called out or being convicted of our sins. This is someone who has been with Jesus, someone who has been changed by Jesus and sharing truth. And that's something that we can learn. When things don't go the way we expect, or God does works such as these miracles, or he shows us favor, instead of being doubtful, we should instead be gracious and appreciative. But most of all, being obedient and following through in the commands and statutes of his word. Going forward, looking at verses 35 through 41, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Now he's been cast out. But guess what? Jesus found him. It's a reminder to us that we're never alone. That we, when we are persecuted or turned against, when we're being talked about, when we're seen as being weird, when we may feel alone, we must know that Jesus, the light, is still there. And Jesus came here, who found him, and he asked him a question. The only question that matters. The only question that matters. Do you believe in the Son of God? That's the only question that matters. Do you believe in the Son of God? And this is Jesus asking him. And he said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Now, notice here how there's a difference from when the Pharisees and the neighbors were asking the questions. They were asking from an attitude of arrogance or closed-mindedness, having an already preconceived notion, already having a decision not to believe. This is not the case for the blind man who said, "Who is he so that I may believe?" There's a difference. This question came from a place of complete humility and willingness to surrender. That is something we need to learn. We need to learn to be humble and always be ready to surrender to the call of the Lord. Jesus answered and said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with him." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." Then he worshiped him. Now we know that God hears worshipers. He had already spoken that truth, and here he is applying that truth in his actions of worshiping him and then professing, "Lord, I believe." And then Jesus confirms for that judgment, "I have come into the world that those who do not see may see. Also, so that those who may see may be made blind." And then the Pharisees who were looking on, who say, "Are we blind?" So in essence, Jesus says to them, if you were blind, meaning if you were able to see the spiritual things, then you would have no sin. In other words, I could not blame you for these things. But the fact that you claim to know these things, the fact that you claim to play God or to be some type of gatekeeper for God, you will be held accountable. You are found sinful. You will remain in your guilt. So, how does this apply to you and me? Now, looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus is the light. We are commanded in the books of Acts when he ascended to heaven to be witnesses of Jesus. In other words, to be the light of the world as it is shown here. We have to let that light shine. And for that light to shine, God must get the glory. Also, for that light to shine, you may be called to debunk unbiblical religious traditions. Also, we have to be the light that shines with boldness, professing Christ. Also, looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." We read here where the blind man had given an account of his healing and who did it. And we even seen how they even asked his parents, and they didn't even believe them. So they opened some type of religious court, and they still didn't believe. Remember, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In other words, a generation that is bent on being dark, a generation that is bent on not believing. But we are called to be the light. Light exposes darkness, and know that darkness would do anything to extinguish the light. But your light shines brightest when you're on that lampstand. Now, you're not the one to put yourself on that lampstand in the earthly means, of course, but you are standing on the pedestal that God provides for you through the favor in the spiritual realm and which matters most. In other words, you must walk in the purposes that God has for you, and you must be obedient in using gifts that God has given you and being faithful to his commands. You must be consistent in your thoughts and actions and make sure that they are aligned biblically. And you also must progress in your faith, continuously growing in God's word, not by your own might, but only by the glory of God. And as I wrap this up, I want to also look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Never forget that you were once in darkness. You did not turn on the light because you're not the light. Jesus is the light. Our light comes from him. And that light comes from the work on the cross." Early in Ephesians, it says, "We were dead in our transgressions. Most of all, we were dark spiritually, destined for eternity in hell." and eternal separation without him. But now you're called to walk as children of light. When you think about children, you can't help to think about the parents. But in this case, specifically, want to think about the child's father. I'm not talking about an earthly father, but I'm talking about the heavenly father. A heavenly father who is the source of light, who sent the one who is light to shed his blood on the cross so that we here on earth can be the light in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. But we must first acknowledge our own darkness, our own sin. And if we haven't already made a personal profession to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we have to make that confession and acknowledge our sins, repent of that sin, and choose to walk with Jesus, who is light. For those who are Christians, we must know what is on the inside of you. That is the light. The light will give you boldness. The light will allow you to challenge unbiblical traditions. The light brings God the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, who is the light of the world. Even in the midst of darkness, and even when we may be feeling down by all of the chaos that is in the world, the wars, the rumors of wars, and the disunity and hate. Even in our homes, we may not feel your presence of peace. But let us be rest assured, Lord, that you are true to your character and your love is real. And let us continue to have hope and delight in who Jesus is. And let us be that light, and let us not be afraid to let that light shine. Not for our glory, but for your glory. Lord, show us areas where we need to let your light shine brightest. Let your light shine within us, Lord. Let us walk in peace and patience, but most of all, let us walk in your glory. And Lord, pray for strength, praying for your provision, and we're just praying to be filled with your Holy Spirit through it all. And all things I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have a question, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, we would like to celebrate with you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org and fill out our prayer request card. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Fellowship Hall of Exmoor Baptist Church for our prayer meetings, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing to be upon you and your family.